Shemini Atzeres, we were discussing last time, has some sort of intermediate status between being totally its own festival and being somewhat connected to the festival of Sukkot. It's called the eighth day. So the eighth day to what? Sukkot festival. If it was really totally separate, you know, it wouldn't be called the eighth day. It would be after the seven days of Sukkot, so then a new festival starts. But it does have aspects of its own festival, meaning that it gets its own Shechianu, which the last days of Pesach, for example, do not. It has its own Korban, it has its own Halachos, whereas, for example, the Halachos of the last days of Pesach are exactly the same as the Halachos of the first days of Pesach, except the special, you know, halachos of the Seder, but the entire festival, you're not allowed to eat chametz, applies just as much on the last days, whereas the requirement is in the Sukkah, certainly does not apply on Shemini Atzeres, at least in theory, although we'll discuss in a few minutes, that practically there are some issues with that. So I was actually discussing in my shir last night, that we happened to be discussing the Yontif davening, the halachos of Yontif davening. So the question arises that, let's say you're davening on Shemini Atzeres, and instead of saying Es Yom Shmini Chag Atzeres Hazeh, you say Es Yom Chag HaSukkos Hazeh. Let's you see, you mention Sukkos instead of Shmini Atzeres on Shmini Atzeres. Is that considered a fatal mistake, and you have to repeat the entire Shemoneh Esrei again? Or is that a mistake we can live with, and you would not have to repeat the davening? If you say on Sukkos, if you say Pesach as Yom Chag HaMatzos Hazeh, then you have to repeat the davening. That's a completely incorrect davening. But if you say it's Yom Chag HaSukkos Hazeh on Shemini Atzeres, does that count as a completely wrong davening or not? So what do you think? So the answer is that there are three different opinions. One is you're not Yotzei no matter what. One is you are Yotzei no matter what. And the third intermediate opinion is it depends. If you knew it was Shemini Atzeres, but you said Chag HaSukkos by accident, then you are Yotzei. But if you thought that it was just another day of Sukkos, then, and you said Chag HaSukkos, then you are not Yotzei. So the truth is that the majority accepted opinion is that you are Yotzei. No matter if you say Chag HaSukkos on Shemini Atzeres, because it's not completely wrong. Because in some ways, the Shemini Atzeres is the eighth day of the festival of Sukkos, even though it doesn't have the law of Sukkah per se. So it's not totally, totally incorrect. But if at all possible, one should try to rectify one's mistake. I admire if it's not really possible, but during the daytime tefillos, one should stand and listen to Chazaras Hashatz, and as if one is davening. In other words, you stand with your feet together the whole time, you bow when the Chazan bows, and you make sure to listen to every word, and say Amen to each bracha. Not Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo, but just Amen, yeah?
Now, if you make a leshev basuk on Shemini Atzeres, which is unfortunately all too common, you know, right, since you're in the habit, right?
Yeah.
That's a bracha levatala, no question about it.
Correct. Right. Because everybody agrees that the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah does not apply on Shemini Atzeres, but nevertheless, it is part of the unit of the festival of Chag HaSukkos.
So in other words, it's not that you shouldn't say Yalev Yavo, all right? You know, obviously you should, right? You know,
right.
It's because, it wasn't quite the right, yontif you mentioned. I mean, it's like,
Right, but it's not totally wrong, because like I said, Shemini Atzeres is part of the same unit, even though it's not technically called Chag HaSukkos. Okay. So that's why, again, so you would not, practically speaking, one would not repeat davening. Okay. So, Mitzvah Shin Chav Gimel, 323, Shelo Lasos Melacha B'Yom Shmini Bo, that one should not perform labor on the eighth day of the festival, meaning Shmini Atzeres. Shelo Lasos Melacha B'Yom Shmini Shel Chag, not to perform labor on the eighth day of the festival. What's the festival? The festival is the greater Sukkot Shemini Atzeres unit. V'hu yom chaf beis b'tishrei, that's 22nd of Tishrei, shenemar, b'yom ha-shmini mikra kodesh, kom leches avodah lo sasu, v'zen nikra chag ha-atzeres. This is called the Shemini Atzeres.
What is it actually about Sukkot that merits it, like the holiday.
Yeah, it's considered to be the happiest of the three regalim. It's considered to be the happiest because I mean, you could say different drushes about it, because it follows Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, so we're totally free of sins, and we just get to rejoice in our relationship with God. Nowadays, we have the added aspect of Shemini Atzeres that we finish the Torah, reading the Torah in Shemini Atzeres, so we're very focused very much on our relationship with God through the Torah that He gave us. So again, that doesn't apply 2,000 years ago. So 2,000 years ago, there was no Simchas Torah per se, but that's another reason nowadays. That's why they say that the Vilna Gaon was super, super, super happy on Shemini Atzeres. That even on any more than any other festival, he was super, super, super happy until the end of the laning on Simchas Torah. They put the Sefer Torah back in the Aron, and then he was just regular happy, just like any other festival. You know, he didn't have the same exuberance that he had on Shemini Atzeres while he was rejoicing with the Torah. I mean, agriculturally, you know, it's the end of the agricultural season before the winter, and we have the bounty that God gave us. It will sustain us through the winter. So there are many reasons why Sukkot is considered the happiest of the Shalosh Regalim. Unfortunately, we should speak about this a little more, that in the upcoming Sukkot, that, you know, some of us, it feels sometimes by the time we get to Sukkot, it's starting to feel a little bit like a burden. Like, we just had Rosh Hashanah, we just had Yom Kippur, we just had the first day Sukkot, the Aleph Chol, you know, and we have to, and especially, as we've mentioned many times, that Sukkot is very difficult for city dwellers much of the time, that you don't have a sukkah right there. The, you know, in most Jewish communities, you know, a sukkah was right next to the house. So, you know, it wasn't too difficult. And in Yemen, actually, every single Jewish house was built with a sukkah roof. That there was, I was reading about it, that there was a time a few weeks before Sukkot, where they say, okay, this is the day where we have to go open the sukkah, where they would go to the roof, and there would be a removable type of covering, ceiling, and they would take it off, and then they would put the schach on top of that, and there you would have your...
It doesn't rain very much there, so you can get away with a flimsy roof, you know, for most of the year.
Mm-hmm. Although, I mean, there are people who have that...
somebody who's got... recently built themselves a... have a deck, and they decided instead of... whatever it was else.
That's my psak. Every Jewish person who has the financial resources to do so, or is building a new house, or is buying a house and has to make some renovations, so if there's a room for a porch outside, make a sukkah porch.
Because
there's tzaris with the dvanis nowadays, which we're gonna get there with the yeshiva sukkah, with the walls of the sukkah. That a lot of people use very flimsy walls for the sukkah, which is perhaps not correct l'chatchila. That air, if you actually built it into the porch, so you have your walls already made, and then you just have to, at least the basic halachic shear for walls, and then you just have to put the schach on top every year, and that is much better. So you know, that's and then, you know, the best is when sukkah is not, again, it's not supposed to be, it's supposed to be you're going a little bit outside your comfort zone, but it's not supposed to be such a burden. You know,
even places where there's no Eruv, it's not best. When there's no Eruv. That's
correct.
Really
when there's no Eruv, so then it's and it's not right next to your house, then it is a real problem. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. There was one place, I went for Sukkot once, now we're on this topic. I went for Sukkot once, and there was an Eruv. I didn't use the Eruv, so there was... the people that I was eating at, I was with a friend, and there, my friend's family was eating with another family that for one of the meals of Sukkot. So the family that they were eating at had a fenced-in backyard, and then they built the sukkah right outside the fenced-in backyard.
Why?
Why? I had no idea why on earth they would do that. So I felt really bad. I couldn't help, you know, set, clear the table or anything like that. But, you know, that was ridiculous. Why would they, why on earth would they do that? And then, even if they use the Eruv, so what if the Eruv is down? You know, you have the option of putting it right inside your own fenced-in backyard.
There must have been some reason.
What?
There must have been some reason.
Like in their driveway or something?
No, literally, there was a fenced-in backyard. Most of their backyard was, much of their backyard was fenced in. Right. And there was a little bit of continuation in the backyard that wasn't fenced in. So they made the sukkah right behind it.
Wow.
I think somebody made a comment. You know, well, why don't you just put it? I don't know. That's just where it will fit. I don't know. Why? Okay. Anyway, whatever. So that is also a problem. But the best is you have the setup as follows. You have a porch. You have your, you know, the first floor of your house. You have a porch right outside the kitchen. So we take go from the kitchen. You have the option. It's just as easy. Either you go straight into the dining room or you go straight into the sukkah. That's the best way to do it. Okay, but now it's supposed to be again, it's supposed to you're supposed to use your best dishes and cutlery and glasses and you know, it shouldn't be
last thing.
Wait a second. So in other words, what we universally do, at least here in the city, is using plastic.
No, that's what I'm saying. Here it's too much too hard to use all the regular dishes. And that's too hard. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying if in all things being equal, you should use the even nicer. Perhaps than you use in your house, yeah.
There's nicer plastic and there's
crummier
plastic.
Well, no, or you'd say actually that, you know, at least you should have one or a few dishes, serving dishes or something that are real dishes.
Oh, for sure, yes.
Okay, I'll remember that.
But
and also,
and real Kiddush cup, not a, you know.
When you're getting to where there's large families involved, and lots of company, if you can manage that, you've got to, if you're going to insist on the real dishes and all that stuff. You know, you can't dump it all on the one housewife.
In the city, I just said that I don't insist on the real dishes.
Yeah.
And if you have your own sukkah right outside the kitchen, so what's the difference between the dining room and the sukkah?
Yeah, that's not the
truth. You know.
And the kids should help out. They should help the mother do the dishes.
And
the husband.
Dishwashers are sukkah sticker. You don't have to worry about that. So, you know.
You don't have to worry about Pesach, right? You get the same food as you have during the year, right? Right. Okay. So on Shmini Atzeres, it's interesting to note actually that this will just as background for what we'll discuss in a couple minutes, that the Targum Yerushalmi says when it translates, so the Targum Yerushalmi is known as opposed to the Targum Unklus, which is just a plain literal translation of the Torah 98% of the time. So the Targum Yerushalmi, the old Eretz Yisrael Targumim, go on midrashic expositions of the text of the Torah. They don't stick to the literal meaning of the text of the Torah. And they often say very interesting things. So one of the things that when it translates the pasuk, uvayom ha-shmini atzeres tielachem, that you should have a festival of stopping, literally, a stoppage of work. So when it translates that, it says, on the eighth day, you shall joyfully return from your sukkahs into your houses. That's, you know, so part of the nature of Shmini Atzeres is that it's supposed to be that you enjoy the fact that you no longer have to be in the sukkah and you can go back into your house. It's the nature of the holiday, which is very interesting. And so it's called Chag HaAtzeres, and in rabbinic literature, when it says Stam Atzeres, it's talking about Shavuos. But here in the Torah, it's called Chag HaAtzeres. So that's why we say in davening, Yom Shmini Chag HaAtzeres Hazeh. There were some nuschos that didn't like using the word Chag for some reason. So they say, the Chassidish Nusach, they say Yom Shmini Atzeres Hazeh without the word Chag, but that's not the old and venerable Nusach. V'amru Zichron Levracha, Shu Nikra Kein, Lifi, Shehu Sofa Moedim, it's the end of the holidays. Just think about it. You start counting for the holidays in Nisan for Sof Pesach, and then the last holiday of the year on a Daraisa level is Shmini Atzeres, which is also why it's an extra level of joy. Well, Derech Moshel Hu Kil Omer Kadosh Baruch Hu LiYisrael Akvu Imi Yom Echad Shekoshe Alai Predaschem. This is the famous midrashic statement that why do we have Shmini Atzeres? It's that really Sukkot should be over with just the 7 days, just like Pesach is 7 days. But God says, you know, we spent all these three festivals together. I just want you to stay with me for one extra day, which is, again, why Shmini Atzeres is extra happy, because it shows the uniqueness of the Jewish people. Again, that's why there's only one bull offered on Shmini Atzeres. We pointed out before that the korbanos, the sacrifices of Sukkot proper, the 7 days, perhaps represent the nations of the world, but the one bull that's offered on Shmini Atzeres represents the Jewish people. Again, it's focusing completely on the relationship between God and the Jewish people, which is designed to fortify us against what is, at least on a Daraisa level, a holiday-free winter. Right? So nowadays, we don't like the idea of having 6 months with no holidays.
Well, we have.
that wouldn't fly. So that's why in the Darabanan level, so we've added Hanukkah, and we've added Purim, and Purim is already in Tanakh. But, and yeah, and you know, we can't even suffice ourselves with that. So that's why nowadays we've added even Tu B'Shvat, so we celebrate as a holiday, even though in the classical halachos of Tu B'Shvat, it has nothing to do with a holiday per se. It's just the cutoff point for the tithing of the fruits for the year.
Is that Tachna not Tu B'Shvat?
No. So we don't say Tachanan Tu B'Shvat L'maisa. That's the Rambam does not include it in his list of times you don't say Tachanan, but we have the minhag that we don't say Tachanan Tu B'Shvat. The Vilna Gaon writes in the Be'er HaGra, when the Shulchan Aruch says you don't say Tachanan Tu B'Shvat, it says that he writes that since it's called a new year L'maisa, and the Mishnah in Masechet Rosh Hashanah says lists all the new years, the first of Tishrei, the first of first of Nisan, the first, so just like the other, all New Year's, you don't say Tachanun. It says a little bit of a holiday status, but of course this was later developed by the Kabbalists in Tzvas, that they turned it into much more of a holiday. They have a whole Tu B'Shvat Seder, then, because really, it's hard to go so long without holidays. It's like all your holidays are concentrated. You have Pesach and Shavuos relatively close together. Mm-hmm. Then you have Rosh Hashanah, Sukkah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, all really close together. And then you have 6 months with zero holidays.
Wait a second. If whether or not to say Tachanun is a matter of halacha, then how do you have certain groups who, Rabbi's Yard sites, they'll, I dive in, a whole year in a shtibble, where I don't think I ever said Tachanun, it was always some Rabbi's Yard site.
They don't say Tachanun?
Well, there's a disagreement amongst the Rishonim as to whether Tachanun, strictly speaking, has the status of a requirement or a rishus or optional. So we sort of go in between. We litvaks, not litvaks, misnagdim, whatever. That's like calling broyers litvish. Ukrainians misnagdish, okay, non chasidish. So we misnagdim go by we try to say Tachanun as much as possible, but strictly speaking, we pass in the Tachanun as a rishus. So therefore, we can add these days, these festive days, semi-festive days, where we don't say Tachanun. In the Rambam's list, I believe he just says you don't say. The Rambam holds Tachanun as a requirement, so he says nevertheless the minhag is not to say Tachanun on Rosh Chodesh and Hanukkah and Purim, and it's a very limited list of weekdays where you don't say Tachanun. But we have expanded the list a little bit because we hold that technically Tachanun is a rishus. So Chassidim, certain groups of Chassidim, are more liberal with considering it a rishus and not feeling that it's a full-fledged requirement. So when they have a reason to say, when they feel that they have a reason not to say Tachanun, so they don't say Tachanun. But you're right, there are some, there are different dargas even within the Chassidish community, that some, they'll add their Rebbe's yard site, okay, where you don't say Tachanun, but there's some, communities that look for every excuse possible not to say Tachanun, and then it's turning it not only from, they consider it a shush, they consider it not even to exist. So that's not right at all, that you can't completely get rid of the whole institution just because technically we consider it to be optional. Okay. We said many times the prohibition of labor on the festivals is equal. So there's a specific category, sui generis type of thing, in which the holiday of Shmini Atzeres falls. Shu yantev bifnei atzmo kelomar she'eino miklal chag haSukkos. So it says that he says that technically Shmini Atzeres is not part of Chag HaSukkos. It's part of the same unit, yes, as we were saying this nuanced distinction before. This is not part of Chag HaSukkos, and you don't have to sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. But mein kind, you're going to ask me a question. Says, we in medieval Spain, I just told you don't have to sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So we in medieval Spain, if you look around on the first day of Shemini Atzeres, we have 2 days of Shemini Atzeres outside of Israel. So we have 2 days of Shemini Atzeres. On the first day of Shemini Atzeres, you're going to see people sitting in the sukkah. Why? Why would you sit in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres if you really don't have to? Ze'ein hadavar mipnei sheya miklal hechag. It's not because there's a din that Shemini Atzeres is part of Sukkah, and so you have to sit in the Sukkah. The opposite. You're not supposed to sit in the Sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. The whole point, as we pointed out in the Yerushalmi, the whole nature of the holiday is that one does not sit in the Sukkah on this day. One returns from the Sukkah into one's house. We don't mention Chag HaSukkos in davening at all. We mention only Yes Yom Shmini Chag HaAtzeres Hazeh. Aval mipnei takona shnei yomim tovim shel golios anu tzrichin leisha besukah shmone yomim. Velo yaspiku lanu shiva kidin Torah, al kein anu yoshim besukah biyom hashmini shel Chag HaSukkos. So we have a problem, a fundamental problem by Sukkos and Shmini HaAtzeres that does not exist with any other holiday. The problem is that we have a clash between the last day of Sukkot and the following day. For Pesach, you need, because of the requirement of the second day of the holiday found outside of Israel, so instead of celebrating just 7 days Sukkot as it says in the Torah, we have to celebrate 8 days Sukkot. But what's the eighth day of Pesach? What's the day after the seventh day of Pesach?
Just a regular whole.
It's a regular day, regular weekday or a regular Shabbos. There's no other scheduled Jewish occurrence. Mm-hmm. So if you keep 8 days of Pesach, so you turned a weekday or a Shabbos into a Yontif or a Shabbos Yontif. But we have a problem. And the same thing as Shavuos. So the day after Shavuos is nothing. So you keep 2 days Shavuos, big deal. But here, if you kept 8 days Sukkos, so that runs into Shemini Atzeres, you have a stira. You have a fundamental clash between the requirement to keep 8 days of Sukkos and the scheduled holiday, which happens right after the seventh day of Sukkos, which is Shemini Atzeres. So for that reason, we've created sort of this hybrid monster that the first day of Shemini Atzeres, it is Shemini Atzeres, that's the Iker Yontif. It is Shemini Atzeres. We know at the Raisa level, it is just Shemini Atzeres. But since you have to be concerned that today was really yesterday, which is the whole requirement of Yontif Sheni, so therefore you have to sit in the Sukkah on the first day of Shemini Atzeres. Because it's also the eighth day of Sukkah. So it's weird because you have to celebrate. You have to celebrate the first day of Sukkot, the first day of Shemini Atzeres, as if it's still part of Chag HaSukkos. So you have a complete contradiction between the two, and they just have to live together in as much as harmoniously as possible. Okay, but it's not so pashut. V'amru zicharim livracha meisaz v'yasvinan besukka kedei latzeis yidei chova. The Gemara in Masechet Sukkah on Daf Mem Zayin brings 3 different opinions amongst the Amoraim about how we conduct ourselves on Shemini Atzeres in a place where you have to keep 2 days Yontif. One opinion is, you sit in the Sukkah and you make a bracha. Even though you're making in Kiddush, as Yom Shemini Chag HaAtzeres Hazeh, nevertheless you make a bracha of Leisha B'Sukkah because, he said, this opinion holds, we have no choice. You know, we make a bracha on Yontif Sheni, just like on the second Seder, even though, you know, really it's the first day of Chol HaMoed on a Daraisa level. Nevertheless, we make the bracha. So here, even though there's a contradiction, so you make the bracha of Leisha B'Sukkah and you make the Kiddush of Shemini Atzeres. A total contradiction.
It's not terms. So terribly make the bracha.
The other opinion is, you neither sit in the Sukkah nor make a bracha. I said, that opinion would hold. Oh, by the way, the contradiction is sort of like what we were talking about before a few weeks ago, which is the counting Sviras HaOmer on the second day of Pesach, that we have the Seder and we count Sviras HaOmer. So that's also a contradiction, and nevertheless we live with it. the reasons behind that we discussed at that time. So that opinion would sort of be analogous to that. Then the second opinion is, you neither sit in the sukkah nor obviously make a bracha. The reason behind that shita being, no, it's too bad. You know, you have to keep this really Shmini Atzeres Midaraisa. There's no requirement of sukkah. So even though normally we do keep 2 days Yantif outside the land of Israel, nevertheless, you have no choice over here. It's just Shmini Atzeres. You just go by Shmini Atzeres, and you neither sit in the sukkah nor make a bracha. So in that opinion, that you neither sit in the sukkah nor make a bracha, so the question arises whether that opinion only holds that way nowadays, because nowadays the Yantav Sheni is only a minag. We know on a Daraisa level it's really Shmini Atzeres because we know the calendar. We know there's no question that there's a Daraisa requirement to sit in the sukkah today. We know there for sure is not. So that's why this opinion can now hold that you neither sit in the sukkah nor make a bracha, and that Yantav Shmini Atzeres completely trumps the whatever residue of the second day Yantav of Sukkah is there may be. However, what about in the times when they actually sanctify the new month according to the sighting of the new moon?
Well, there you would have a legitimate, you know, Sveikat Yoma, so...
Oh, exactly. So there, you now have the first day of Shmini Atzeres, eight days after what you consider the first day of Sukkot. So you really don't know! Is today the first day of Shmini Atzeres, or is it the seventh day of Sukkot? You really don't know. So would this opinion exist in such a time? Would this opinion say, well, no, I fold, you know, you would have to obviously sit in the sukkah without a bracha on this day because you're not sure, maybe it is the last day of Sukkot. Or would this opinion say, no, nevertheless, we're not dealing here with violating a negative commandment. You know, that in other words, if you 2 days Yantif, if you did malacha on the second day of Yantif and it really was Yantif, so then that's violating a negative commandment, a prohibition. But here the Chachamim could tell you, no, since we consider it the first day of Shmini Atzeres, so we'll tell you, as the Chachamim have the right to do, just passively refrain from fulfilling the mitzvah of sukkah. So, again, so that would be, that's a little bit unclear when there is an actual Sveika de Yoma, when you don't know, when they're Mekadesh al Piyari and you haven't received the word yet, which day was sanctified as the new moon, new month, then if this opinion would hold, or that you would not sit in the sukkah, or this opinion would agree that since there's an actual doubt, you would have to sit in the sukkah. But nevertheless, according to us nowadays that we know the calendar, so this opinion, this middle opinion in the Gemara would hold that we neither sit in the sukkah nor make a bracha. And then the last opinion is that you sit in the sukkah, but you do not make a bracha. That even though normally we make a bracha on mitzvahs of a Yantav Sheni, nevertheless, here, since it stands in outright fundamental contradiction to you saying Shmini Atzeres and davening and in Kiddush, so therefore, we sit in the sukkah because there's nothing wrong with that. You could eat in the sukkah just the same as you could eat in the house. So that's not a direct stira. But you do not make the bracha on Shmini. You do not make the bracha on the sukkah because that's too much an out slap in your face to the yantif of Shmini Atzeres. Okay. So we have a little bit of a problem, which is within this last opinion. The Gemara says, by the way, as the Sefer Chinuch will say, Hilchasa Mesav Yasvina and Baruch Elo Mevarchin. And the conclusion of the Gemara, some say, you know, that maybe this was added later and that was not really in the original text of the Gemara, but it's not the normative understanding. Okay, the conclusion of the Gemara seems to be like the third opinion that I mentioned, which is that you do sit in the sukkah and you do not make a bracha. So we have a little bit of a problem, which is that in many, throughout the generations, there were certain communities in Ashkenaz, in Europe especially, where they did not follow this, where they did not sit in the sukkah at all on Shmini Atzeres, or alternatively, there was a minag which is recorded and rejected in the tour, but it's recorded in the, I believe, in the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, one of the commentaries of the Rishonim on the Gemara. There was a minag that people did not sit in the sukkah on the night of Shmini Atzeres, but they did sit in the sukkah on the daytime of Shmini Atzeres. Why would this be? So how could this be? Both these minhagim seem to contradict the Gemara. All the Rishonim, basically, the normative Rishonim, the Rambam, the Rashba, all the major halachic Rishonim, there's all say, like the simple conclusion of the Gemara, that you have to sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres without making a bracha. So how could this minhag have developed? Well, first of all, again, some people say, well, maybe that's that reading in the Gemara was later, or maybe they go like the other opinion in the Gemara that holds that you don't sit in the sukkah at all in Shmini Atzeres, which, again, it would be difficult. But one of the reasons might be that there is a fundamental difference in how to understand the idea that one sits in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. According to one approach, the sitting in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres is an absolute takana. That's it. The Chachamim made the first day of Shmini Atzeres completely have the din regarding sukkah as because of Yantiv Sheni as if it were the last day of Sukkos. It's a takana derabanan. We don't think about it anymore. Other than that, you have to sit in the sukkah no matter what, just as if it were a regular day of Sukkos. And that's the opinion famously of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon was very stark about sitting in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. And he even slept in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. He was very, very, very stark about it. He stayed in the sukkah the whole day, which there were other men talking about that, which I'll hopefully get to in a few minutes.
Didn't go in the house at all?
As much as possible, unless it was raining or something. Yeah, it says in the Maaser Rav that the Vilna Gaon, one time on Shmini Atzeres, it was unbelievably cold. There was a cold spell, you know, the likes of which, you know, was unusual even for Vilna at that time of year, extremely freezing. So the Vilna Gaon said, it was on Shmini Atzeres night, so the Vilna Gaon told his students, you know, technically we're exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. If it were any other day of sukkahs, we'd be exempt from sleeping in the sukkah tonight. But he says, everybody else makes the mistake that they don't sleep in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. I don't want them to look at me and say, Vilna Gaon sleeping inside. He's getting lax in his shita that you have to sleep in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So he said, we're going to wear our heavy, heavy coats and get stockpile our heaviest, heaviest blankets, and we're going to sleep in the sukkah tonight. Okay? It was very, very insistent that any minhag that people had, either not to sleep or not to eat or whatever, in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, was completely incorrect and should not be followed. And we have to follow the conclusion of the Gemara, which according to him is to be interpreted that the Chachamim made the first day of Shmini Atzeres absolutely like the last day of Sukkos regarding the laws of sukkah because of the takana of Yantiv Sheni. If everyone in the world slept in the sukkah on the night of Shmini Atzeres, then we would sleep in the side. But he says, I have to teach people that I'm not just being lax about it, and you are required to sleep in the sukkah on the night of Shmini Atzeres. So it was an extra halachic consideration.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, Simchas Yantiv has nothing to do with temperature per se. Again, yeah. I mean, yeah, you should.
You're going to be miserable.
Right. You're not supposed to be miserable, but you know, he said they got enough blankets. Look, if you have enough blankets, you can sleep at any temperature. You know what I mean?
I tried sleeping in a sukkah in Minnesota, you know.
Yeah.
And it lasted about a few hours.
What do you mean? You had 20 blankets? I mean, how much could you have had?
I had a sleeping bag, thing like that, but it was freezing. It really was cold, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's not too... Well, they were tougher in those days, you know. Central heating and so on. Really, in other words, it was because there were... certain other parties that, you know, he was in opposition to, that he wanted to show that
not Chassidim necessarily at that time.
No.
Not all Chassidim are lax about the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Not all Chassidim. The different Chassidish groups have different minhagim about what they do on Shmini Atzeres. Okay. But the opinion of the Vilna Gaon is not necessarily the way that many Rishonim understood the requirement of sleeping in the of dwelling in the sukkah in Shmini Atzeres, which is stated by the Gemara. Many Rishonim are asking themselves, But sleeping in the, but I'm sorry, dwelling in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres could be a violation of Baal Tosef. A adding to the mitzvos, that there's 7 days sukkahs, and you're not allowed to add to the mitzvos.
How much more so than say, having the second day of any other yontif?
Oh, that's the sheet of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says, Baal Tosef, who cares? It's not Baal Tosef. It's a takanas chachamim. It's a mitzvah derabanan to dwell in the sukkah on this day. So who cares about Baal Tosef? But nevertheless, it's not the way many other many rishonim understood this. They said, well, there needs to be some recognition on Shmini Atzeres that this is not part of the main mitzvah's sukkah. It's not part of the mitzvah. It's not really part of sukkahs. So therefore, we need to make some heker, some sort of difference, which is that normally, that since we, so the fact that you don't make a bracha would be considered to be a sufficient heker, recognition that this is not part of the actual mitzvah of sukkah, which is only for 7 days. So that's why some rishonim say that, not some rishonim, some poskim say that the minhag is specifically not to sleep in the sukkah, even if you eat in the sukkah, not to sleep in the sukkah, because the contemporary minhag is that you only make a bracha in the sukkah when you eat. So therefore, when you eat in the sukkah without a bracha, so that's enough of a heker that it shouldn't be Baal Tosef. But when you sleep in the sukkah, you don't make a bracha, so then there's no immediate recognition that it's not the main mitzvah of sukkah, so therefore you would not sleep in the sukkah. But the Vilna Gaon says, first of all, the Vilna Gaon holds you make the bracha of the sukkah whenever you go into the sukkah, about eating. Right, so the Vilna Gaon himself, it wouldn't make a difference, but he would hold, that doesn't matter, people! It doesn't matter, because the Chachamim say we have to dwell in the sukkah on this day, so it's not a problem about Tosef at all. But, so some go even further with this idea, and they say that not just the bracha, but the reason that it says in the Gemara that you have to dwell in the sukkah, according to the seeming conclusion, that you have to dwell in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, the Gemara means that you have to dwell in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres because why not? Why not? In Babylonia at this time of year, in Eretz Yisrael at this time of year, okay, in Eretz Yisrael there's only one day Yontif. Okay, but Babylonia at this time of year, the weather is very pleasant. So some people like to eat outside anyway. They like to dine al fresco no matter what. So when the Gemara says that you dwell in the sukkah without making a bracha, it means that it's just because the weather is nice anyway. You might sit in the sukkah anyway, so you might as well make reference to the at least theoretical Sveika Diyoma, that today is the 7th day of Sukkot, so therefore you should sit in the sukkah. But in Europe, in Northern Europe, at this time of year, it's very cold. So it's obvious to anyone looking at you that the reason that you're sitting in the sukkah is, you're dwelling in the sukkah, is that you're doing it for the sake of a mitzvah. So then there might be a problem of Baal Tosef, and that's why the minhag developed in certain communities that you don't dwell in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, even though that's against the simple conclusion of the Gemara. And that's also pshat in the minhag quoted by Rabbeinu Peretz, which is rejected by the Torah, which is not to dwell in the sukkah at night of Shmini Atzeres, but to dwell in the sukkah in the daytime of Shmini Atzeres, because at night it's much colder, at least in that time of year. So that is really unpleasant. But in the daytime, maybe you could get away with the idea that you just feel like dining outside. So that's the reasoning behind the minhag that some people have, that they are lax in different ways in sleeping dwelling in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, either not eating at all, or eating just the morning meal, or eating both meals and not sleeping. But that's all well and good, but despite these justifications that we've just given for the minhag of not dwelling in one way or another in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, nevertheless, the simple psak of the vast majority of the poskim is, like the conclusion of the Gemara, that you do have to dwell in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, which is why we, especially misnagdim, again, there are some misnagdim who don't either, but very unusual. But that's why the normative practice, as it should be, unless you have a very strong minhag to the contrary, is that we do completely dwell in the sukkah and shemini atzeres with or without sleeping. That's but certainly with the eating. And some people say also the minhag also is normally that you leave the sukkah. You don't dwell in the, you don't just sit around in the sukkah in the afternoon of shemini atzeres. You leave the sukkah after the morning meal of Shemini Atzeres. Okay, it falls on Shabbos, you have to after Shalosh Shudas, okay? Mm-hmm. But you don't just sit around in the sukkah, which the Vilna Gaon disagreed with also. He says you sit in the sukkah the whole day. No, it has to be dafka the whole day. We don't, but okay, so that's, so people have different practices regarding the technical details, but again, the normative practice is and should be that we do dwell in the sukkah on Shemini, that we do dwell in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. The Rav Soloveitchik famously went so far as to say that even if your family custom, you come from a family where they were lax in one way or another in the sitting in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres, you should change your minhag and you should follow the conclusion of the Gemara that you must dwell in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. So I personally wouldn't necessarily go that far. There are some justifications, but again, unless you're actively within a community that and a family that has that minhag, it's generally not advisable to
you
do that.
You make a Taras Nadarim if you decide you're going to go to that minhag then.
No, Taras Nadarim, no, because this is not that's a kula, it's not chumrah. The Taras Nadarim is when you want to go down a level. Uh-huh. Fine. So one, it was actually interesting. You mentioned that about chassidim. So one very interesting thing that I read was about the Satmar Aruv. So the Satmar Aruv, he was very seicheldik about this. He, in Europe, he did not sit in the Sukkah Shemini Atzeres because there it was so cold at this time of year that he felt that it would be a shayla, you know, we'd be getting into the issues of maybe Baal Tosef, according to some Rishonim. So he followed the lenient opinions. But when he came to America, he didn't just blindly say, that was our minhag, that's what we've always done, we're not changing. He smartly and correctly took into account the changed circumstances. Here in America, it's not so cold. I can manage here. It's not so cold on Shemini Atzeres usually. So therefore, he says, I'm going to follow the Ikar Adin. I'm going to start sitting in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. So that's a very reasonable. Yeah, that's what you have to do, people in life. The people in life. You can't just say, I mean, I'm very into minhagim. But you have to, has to be with some seichel that you, if it really, if the circumstances that where this custom arose have changed, you can't just say, oh, that was our minhag, as if you know, there was no reason behind it, and that the minhag is actively that you should not dwell in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. Fine. Also, these strange things that some people have, like they make kiddush in the sukkah and then eat in the house, and then where does that come from? That makes no sense because of kiddush makom zuda. It could be justifiable if the sukkah is close enough to the house that b'dieved it shouldn't be a hefsik between the kiddush and the suda. But
the kiddush is like the beginning of the meal,
right? It's very odd how these things came out. Probably like a compromise that you know, in Europe, you know, people felt bad that it was so cold that they weren't sitting in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres, so they wanted to do at least something in the sukkah, so they started. That's how it came about. Yes. The question also arises, what happens if you are visiting Eretz Yisrael on Shemini Atzeres, mm-hmm. and you're a Ben Chutz Laretz, and you're visiting Eretz Yisrael on Shemini Atzeres, mm-hmm. so there it's more a slap in the face to Shemini Atzeres to dwell in the sukkah, because you look around you, nobody's dwelling in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres, because there's one day Shemini Atzeres, you know what day it is, so you know there's no dwelling in the sukkah. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said that vis-a-vis this requirement, you can rely on the shita of the Chacham Tzvi, that when you're visiting Eretz Yisrael, you follow the rules of Eretz Yisrael, and it says even though you keep 2 days yontif, so you are allowed to keep 1 day yontif regarding the dwelling of the sukkah and the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres, and you're allowed to eat outside the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. It's not the normative sheet. That's not actually the normative sheet that most poskim hold, that somebody who's from Chutz Laretz and is visiting Eretz Yisrael on Shemini Atzeres does have to dwell in the sukkah. I remember this came. Sometimes when I was in Eretz Yisrael for Shemini Atzeres, so. And we had our meals by people who lived in Eretz Yisrael. So what they used to do is that they used the pasul part of the sukkah.
Oh, I've heard of that.
They used to make it pasul. They used to like put a sheet on top of the schach or under the schach or something. So we would sit, the bacharim from Chutz Laaretz would sit under the part of the sukkah that was kosher, and the host who was lived in Eretz Yisrael would sit under the part of the sukkah that was pasul, because they should not be sitting in the sukkah, because really there you do get into why get involved at all in the issues of potentially Baal Tosif. So there, yeah.
Oh, well, why don't we take a lulav without a bracha?
Because the pashup shot is that a lulav 7 days is only the Rabbanan.
Okay.
So lulav 7 days is only the Rabbanan, so that when Chazal made the takana of taking the lulav for 7 days, they said you do it for just 7 days, even if you live in Chutz Laaretz. But the other thing is that it's more actively against Shmini Atzeres, whereas sitting in the sukkah is not as actively against. That's just you hold your meal in the sukkah. You're not actually, you know, okay, Shmini Atzeres, I'm literally, you know, taking the lulav and slapping it in your face. So it's not as active. So those are the reasons. Okay. Fine. But the question is asked by the Rishonim. Fine. Aval mikol makom, continues the Sefer HaChinuch. Baruch elo mevarchinan al ha-sukkah biyom zeh. You don't make a bracha on the sukkah on this day. Achar shu be'emes yom moed acher. It's really Shmini Atzeres. Shehashta be'kiyan anu be'kibu adiyarcha. That nowadays we know the actual calendar, so we would not make a bracha on Shmini Atzeres. So the Sefer HaChinuch sounds not like the shita that I sort of the not one of the shitas I mentioned in the Gemara explicitly. The Sefer HaChinuch sounds like he's constructing a different shita. The Sefer HaChinuch sounds based on the simple reading, which is that if there were an actual Sveika de Yoma nowadays, if we really didn't know which day was the correct day of Yontif, you would have to make a bracha on the sukkah nowadays. We have to make a bracha on the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, because it actually could potentially be the mitzvah, which is again, a bit of a chiddush, not found elsewhere, but he sounds that way perhaps here. V'yoseh roi shenevarech al yantiv ha'atzeres shuhu ha'amiti, we should make the bracha on Shmini Atzeres rather, v'lo ha'acher shu mipnei ha'takana. Not on this one, which is just based on the rabbinical enactment. B'shem atomer, lama lo tignu levarech al shneim? Why not make a bracha on both? V'nomar b'yom chag ha'sukkes v'chag ha'atzeres hazeh. Say both, all, not just bracha on the sukkah, but throughout all davening. Es yom chag ha'sukkos ha'chag ha'shmini chag ha'atzeres hazeh. Say both. Just like, you know, in the musaf of the intermediate days of sukkahs, so you say two sets of korbanos. Because maybe it's this day, maybe it's that day. So
or Shabbos v'yantif, you know.
That's what he says right now in Sefer HaChinuch. Shabbos u'moed shanu zocher shneim. He mentioned both because it's both days. Halesa dilu b'Shabbos u'moed shneim b'yom echad. It could be that Shabbos v'yantif fall on the same day, but it's impossible in theory for sukkahs and shmini atzeres to be on the same day. Well, shnei modim yev shashiu b'yachad. That's just ridiculous. Belkein ein roi lanu v'levarachin. It's not proper for us to make this bracha. Aval leisha basuka roi lanu, we should make leisha basuka she yeshiva sukkah lo garamidi b'chag ha'atzeres, because it's not a direct mention of something that's you don't say both holidays together. You just make, you know, you have your meal, you make leisha basuka, and you also make kiddush for Shmini Atzeres. They're two separate events, and to a certain extent. V'yish v'davar mitzvah satakana sheshnei yom tovin shel galios shadiknu zichron bracha b'chol moed kimo sheperashnu lemala. That it's just like any 2 days yontif where you make the bracha. So again, Sefer HaChinuch says, so, but if that's the case, Mr. Sefer HaChinuch, so why should we make the bracha nowadays? Because you always make a bracha on yontif sheni shegalios. So why should you limit the idea that you make the bracha leisha besukkah on?
Well, the bracha is rabbanan, and you know, because obviously they weren't gozer that you should, you know, make the bracha.
But all yontif sheni assumes that today is yesterday. In other words, the reason, obviously, it seems to me, again, I'm against the Sefer HaChinuch, but it seems that the reason the Gemara, that this Shita was not mentioned explicitly in the Gemara, I mean, it was mentioned explicitly in the Gemara, but not regarding the difference between whether there's an actual Sveika Dioma or not, it seems to be that it's not dependent on that, and you would make a bracha either way. Because making Kiddush Shmini Atzeres and then making Leisha Besukah is wrong. It's too much of a contradiction right at the same time. So again, the Sefer Chinuch is a little bit difficult, but nevertheless, okay, it's possible. So the Maisa, again, the Iker Hadin is that you really do everything in the Sukkah and Shemini Atzeres. You dwell in it as if it were a regular day of Sukkot, but you start chipping away at it when we get into a later poskim, that some poskim say, well, you shouldn't sleep in the Sukkah, or sleeping in the Sukkah is more lenient on Shemini Atzeres than the rest of Sukkot, because it looks more like Baal Tosef. Then you have some say, well, maybe the minhag should be not to eat in the Sukkah at night, and then you get to the point where it's so cold and it's everything is Baal Tosef that you shouldn't eat in the Sukkah in the day either. And some people actually, even though I told you that the minhag, the general minhag is that we only make a bracha leisha b'sukkah during Sukkot, during the meal times, during the meals. Nevertheless, the psak of it seems to be the actual conclusion of the Gemara. Again, maybe we'll get into this when we talk about Yeshiva Sukkah. But the actual conclusion of the Gemara is that you make a bracha aleisha b'sukkah every time you go into the sukkah. Mm-hmm. Nothing to do with the meal. You go into the sukkah, you make aleisha b'sukkah. So the Vilna Gaon held like that. He did that. So it seems to be that some of the later Litvisha rabbis adopted the practice of the Vilna Gaon, which seems to be the basic conclusion of the Gemara, many Rishonim and Paskin like that, to make a bracha every time they went into the sukkah, so as to afford themselves the possibility to to even sleep in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres and satisfy the other opinion as well, because there would be an obvious recognition that it wasn't really sukkahs because they are not making the bracha. Normally, they would make a bracha on sleeping, which is against the regular minhag. So some people felt that being makel to go like the regular minhag, only to make a bracha on the sukkah at meal times, would eventually lead to a major kula, which is that opinions would hold that you wouldn't be allowed to sleep in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. So they wanted to sleep in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres to satisfy the opinions that you should sleep in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. So therefore, because of that reason, they went back to the Talmudic law and they made a bracha every time they went into the sukkah during Sukkot. So it should be recognizable on Shemini Atzeres that they were not actually having kavana that this was Sukkot, but rather they're doing it because of the Takanas Chachamim of Shemini Atzeres.
Wait a second. Sleeping in the sukkah is as much a kiyum of Shemini Atzeres as eating.
Right.
So why shouldn't there be a bracha on sleeping in the sukkah?
Nobody holds it the bracha on sleeping per se. Either there's a bracha only on the eating, or there's a bracha every time you go into the sukkah.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
Sleeping is one of the every times you go in.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Right,
you
sleeping.
You may go fall asleep, there would be a bracha with hell, right?
Right, that's part of the reason that people get. We'll discuss that when we get to Mitzvah Yeshiva Sukkah, which will be a couple of mitzvahs from now, and we'll continue with Shemini Atzeres next week.